Thank you for tuning in and listening to Mount Carmel Church of God Radio Ministries, where we strive to connect you with relevant biblical teachings for the world we live in today. Now for today's broadcast with Pastor Tim Yoder.
We have so many people walking around us who don't know Jesus. And that's one of the things why we have My3. Is to remind us to pray for people that don't know him. Taking time to lift up 3 people every day that don't know Jesus, that something may happen. Something happened this week. Somebody came to know Jesus this week. Somebody accepted Jesus this week. Never underestimate the power of prayer. Never underestimate the power of asking as well. There was an assumption made that this person may already know Jesus, and they found out they didn't. And they had the opportunity to share the gospel, and the person accepted. That's why we pray. That's why we share. That's why we are supposed to be the hands and feet of Jesus and proclaiming that to the world around us. May we never forget that we get to partner with God inside of it. And one of the ways we do it is to pray for everybody. So at this moment, what I want us to do is I want us to take time. Think of those 3 people that are on your list and pray for them by name. And then I'll close us out. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for one more, for the kingdom of God. Father, we know the love that you have for each person. This desire that no one be lost. Father, we all know people in our lives that need you. Lord, we lift them up by name right now. That you would just speak into them, that you would soften their hearts and prepare them to hear that good news. So that, Father, when they hear it, they receive it and they run to you, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. The one who made a way where there was no way. We thank you for this in advance and in your promises. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's continue to worship our Savior this morning.
Lord, which God supplies. sings praises from a grateful heart. Each time I think of you, the praises start. Love you so. the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Amen.
Well, Father, we just say thank you that we can come before you this morning and proclaim that your name is worthy and you're above it all. Father, we love you. We lay it all down before you this morning. Have your way now. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a seat.
So good morning, church. How great is it to be here this morning, to join together. I want to thank Pastor Johnny for bringing the message last week to give me a chance to rest after a week of travel. And I want to welcome everybody here this morning, the scouts and our guests. And I also want to welcome those joining us online on the radio. We're so glad that you could be with us, even if you're not here in our presence. But before we dive into our message this morning, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your son. We thank you for your promises. Lord, I ask that you walk with each one of us today, that you open the hearts and the minds of the people that are here, that they may hear your message loud and clear, that, Father, we may not be satisfied with just a little of you, but we want more of you. Father, I ask this morning that it is your words that are spoken and not mine, and if I say anything that is not of you, may it fall on deaf ears. Lord, we thank you for all of this in advance. In Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we're back into our Life of Christ series this morning. And the last time that we were here, we finished up in Matthew chapter 12, where we saw the Pharisees doing their best and doing the best thing they often did, which was question Jesus, pushing him to give them a sign about who he is, overlooking everything else Jesus had done in their life already up to this point. They had seen miracle after miracle. They had just got done seeing Jesus heal a man, and they had everything they needed to know that he was the promised Messiah, but they didn't want to believe it because it came down to their heart. Jesus came around, and he reminded them of that they had all the proof they needed, but because they had hardened their heart, they would never believe. That no matter what Jesus did, they wouldn't do it. That's just like our world today. There's many people who have seen Jesus move throughout their lives. There's many people who have seen prayers answered over and over again. They have seen testimonies where God has transformed someone's life, yet they don't believe it because they don't want to. Their hearts have been hardened. Instead, we often like to view God as a genie in a bottle, somebody who's just there to answer our little problems, answer our little requests. We were reminded in the text last time that we need to tune our hearts to God, that we need to open up and let the Spirit work within us. Jesus reminded us in the text that he would give one more big sign to the Pharisees and the world around him, and that was his death, burial, and resurrection. We were reminded that in his resurrection, what he did on Calvary is all the evidence that we would need to know that he is God, that he is the promised Messiah, that Jesus came to make a way where there was no other way. Yet for those who don't know Jesus, the cross looks foolish. But for those of us who walk with Jesus, know that the cross is all we needed and reminds us of the promise of years ago. Lastly, we were reminded in the text that when it comes to Christ, we are no longer living this life alone. That we're given a new family, not just a church, not a social club, but the family of God. A family of people from all over the world with the same faith and the same struggles you and I face. And praise God for that. Praise God for that. That we don't have to walk this world alone anymore. Did you guys know we're called to share our faith? Do you guys know that? We're called to share the good news to the world around us. Yet often we don't do that. I mean, because there's different responses when we share our faith with others, right? There's different ways that people will respond often. And sometimes those responses can become very discouraging. You know, if you go off into work and into school and in different areas and you share your faith, not everybody wants to hear it. Has anybody ever experienced that, or is that just me? Because I've ran into that a time or two in life. And now here's the thing. Jesus himself got different responses from people. Everybody wasn't always happy to hear from him and what he had to say. He was actually controversial in his day, just as he's controversial today. But that's what we're looking at this morning. Jesus is teaching us about sharing our faith and the responses that we get from different people when we go out and do this. He taught us this lesson this morning through parables. So in this series this morning, we're going to be flipping over to Mark chapter 4, and we'll be in verses 1 through 20 for anyone who wants to follow along. So let's dive right in this morning. Start by verse 1, where it states, "Again, he began to teach by the sea, and a very large crowd gathered around him. So he got into a boat on the sea, sat down, and while the crowd was by the sea on the shore." Have you guys noticed a trend throughout this entire Life of Christ series? Wherever Jesus goes, what happens? There's people right there with him. There's always somebody following him. It's like you can't leave him alone. They just keep gathering in over and over. And he just draws these large crowds because people want to hear what he has to say. They want to know what he's going to do. They want to see some of these miracles, and they just can't get enough of him. And in this time, the crowd was so large that they actually pushed him into a boat, and he had to teach from the boat so they had a little breathing room, you know? And this isn't the first time he's had to do this. I don't know if you guys really kept pushing in. It would make me uncomfortable. I would want a boat too, okay? It's the way it works. And this crowd was large. See, there seems to be this desire within people that naturally draw towards Jesus. You know, it's like he's our creator. It's like he's our heavenly father. He's the one who put everything into motion. And wherever Jesus went, people would follow. It's a natural thing for most people. Even if they don't fully believe, even if they walk away later, there's often this initial push towards Jesus to learn more. Now, here's the thing. Did you know that's the same for the church today? That is the same for the church today. Now, we may often feel like people don't want to hear it. We may often feel like people, no, they're pushing away. But the truth is, if we are the truth, if we are the church that we're called to be, if we speak the truth, if we are the hands and feet of Jesus, if we operate out of love and we proclaim the gospel to the world around us, when we actually represent Christ to the world, and I don't just mean going to church and being religious, I mean actually be Jesus' hands and feet to the world around us. And I don't just mean going through the motions. What I mean is when we allow Christ to rule in our lives, when we allow him to be the center of all we do, it will naturally draw people in towards us because they want to know what's different about you because they see Jesus in us. Guess what? None of us are that popular, that famous, or anything else that people want to come know who we are on our own. But when they see Jesus inside of us, they want to know what is so different. How can you keep a smile on your face? How can you walk this out inside of those moments, even when you're walking through some of the darkest times? It's because they see Jesus inside of us and they want to come learn more where that came from. And that's what was going on when Jesus' day. There was this opportunity for people. They saw it and they wanted more. You know, when we pray for people, we encourage people. When we let the light of Jesus shine through us brightly in everything we do, it's going to attract people. It's a natural thing. It's almost like a bug to a light. All right, they just come around, they swarm, they want to know. I know even in my life as a Christian, I've been questioned by many people throughout the years. I've ran into this situation many times, not saying everybody repented and turned to Jesus, but I've been asked 100 times, if not more, what is different? Where are you finding this joy? I saw what you just went through. I had my house burned down and I had people go, how are you still smiling afterwards? Because I knew that God provides. And I allowed that light to shine throughout the whole situation. Instead of woe is me, it's how can I bring glory to God in this process? How can I let that light shine through? You see, that's the whole point of the series that we're in. That's the whole reason we're looking at the Life of Christ series, is because we understand that our lives are supposed to reflect Jesus. And if we don't know the source of that, if we don't know Jesus, how can our lives do that? And that's why we're going in to see how he interacted, how he taught, how he spent time with the people. And praise God, we get to do that. And he becomes our guide for our lives. And we're called to reflect him to the world around us, sowing seeds wherever we go. You know, this morning, Jesus again is showing us how to sow those seeds, giving us an example of how we are to live our lives. And often, Jesus taught these lessons through parables. And in fact, it says in verse 2 this morning, he said, he taught them many things in parables, and in his teachings, he said to them. You see, parables literally means to throw alongside. The parallel. Parable, parallel. They run next to each other. It's this idea of teaching spiritual truth and understanding to the listeners using metaphors and teachings from everyday situations. So Jesus really loved doing that, helping us better explain who God is to the world around us. You know, sometimes there's these ideas of God that we're trying to wrap our heads around. And so what we have to do is we have to look at our world because God created it, and we can find things that help us better understand of who he is by looking inside of our world and how it was put together. And that's how Jesus often taught. This is any good teacher in school. I know some of you are teachers, some of you are retired teachers. You often would do this. You would take a lesson and you would move it in such a way that people would understand it by using real life examples that they were accustomed to. And that's what Jesus did, as any good teacher would. You know, and this can be found throughout the scriptures. The prophets and the teachers of old did the same thing. So let's take a look at this parable this morning. It's going to be in verses 3-9. And it states, listen, consider the sower who went out to sow. As he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it didn't have much soil, and it grew up quickly, since the soil wasn't deep. When the sun came up, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it, and it didn't produce fruit. Still other seed fell on good ground, and it grew up producing fruit that increased 30, 60, and 100 times. Then he said, let anyone who has ears to hear, listen. How many of you understood what I just read? How many of you went, huh? You know, we may get perplexed at times when we read these. When we read some of these parables, at that first glance, we can have sitting there and have us scratching our heads. Just as some of the listeners of Jesus' day did the same thing. You're in good company. The people around Jesus scratched their heads as well. So did the disciples. In fact, later we'll look at that he questioned Jesus on it. But this idea, the main idea I think we can get the outside idea, this idea of farming by simply scattering seed everywhere, though it's not something that we would normally do today, right? I know some of you are farmers in here. Some of you grew up farming. You may not be anymore, but you probably didn't just grab a handful of seeds and go out and start shaking it all over the place in the field, did you? No, that's not how we often do it. We don't even do our gardens like that anymore, okay? It's this idea. But why? It's because we would waste seed, right? That's why we wouldn't do that anymore. We would feel like we wasted so much seed and so much energy. Instead, what do? We go out and we cultivate the ground. We take that time to clear the field, to make sure to check out the fields and the garden, removing any big rocks that we might find, anything like that. We get it all prepared up and we stir it up. Even after we do all that work, we create rows, and we're very strategic about what we plant and when we plant it. And the listeners of Jesus' day also had a difficult time understanding this parable. And the reason is though they didn't have these big machines. I've seen some of these machines. They're great. They didn't have those big machines to go out and plant and prepare the soil like we do. But they did their best to prepare the soil before planting. They would go out and pick out the big rocks. They would go out and try to clear the area and all of that. Did some of the seed fall into the rocks or get into the thorns and walking paths where they could never grow properly? Of course. It's just like we have seeds that go to waste today. But they still tried to make sure as much as they could to get it on good ground, just as we do today. And Jesus finished his parable by saying, let anyone who has ears to hear, listen. We may wonder, what does this have to do with our faith? What does any of this have to do with being a Christian or a follower of Jesus? And some of you may be ready for a nap by now too. And I understand that. I mean, we understand the idea of a parable is to help us with a deeper picture, but we don't always see that deeper picture right away. Well, the disciples felt the same way. In fact, they asked Jesus in verse 10, where they stated, when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. When he was alone, that being Jesus, the disciples came up to him and they asked him about this parable. You know, as we grow in Christ, there are times that we don't always understand why things happen or why God says the things that he does, just as the disciples did not understand at this very moment. It's in those moments, though, when God wants us to press in and to learn more. The point of a parable is to get people to press in and to learn more. When we're reading the scriptures and we're not understanding something, it's our job to go and pray and ask for God's wisdom and guidance through that whole process, to grow in relationship with him. So Jesus answered the disciples in verses 11 through 13, where he said, he answered them, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those outside, everything comes in parables, so that they may indeed look and yet not perceive. They may indeed listen yet not understand. Otherwise, they may turn back and be forgiven. Then he said to them, don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand all of the parables? You know, every parable has two levels of understanding. We've got the physical and we got the spiritual side. Everyone here can understand the physical side of the parable. Jesus was talking about farming. I think we understood that. But the spiritual side, that's the one that can be a mystery to many. It's the reason that many don't hear or understand is because they don't want to. This isn't saying that God is this big mystery that we'll never have this relationship and we might as well not do. No, he wants us to press in, because if we search for Jesus, he will show himself to us. It's all about our personal choice. Did you know it's your choice on whether or not to follow Jesus? Did you know it's your choice whether or not to have a relationship with God? Nobody can force you. Nobody can make you do anything. They can maybe make you say a few words. But to actually have that relationship within your heart, to actually walk in relationship with Jesus himself, is a personal choice that only you can make. No one else. Simply you. Not mom and dad. Not grandma. You make that choice. That's the thing. You know, all of us in here have heard the gospel at one point or another in our lives. Odds are every single person in here has. But here's the kicker. We have to decide on how we're going to respond to it. And each one of us may respond a little differently. And that's actually what this parable is about. It's about people responding to the gospel message and how people perceive what God is saying in the midst of it. So let's break this down, because Jesus takes the time to explain it. We're starting in verse 14. And it was at this moment when Jesus was alone with his disciples that he took this time and he said, the sower sows the word. You see, the sower sows the word. It's this idea as Christians that we're called to do. We're called to go out and share the gospel message to the world around us, aren't we? We're called to go out and proclaim that gospel message to the world around us. To not just stand on our own, but to go out and share it. We're not called to cultivate, to see where someone's heart is before we plant the seed, before we share Jesus with the world around us. We're called to just go out and sow the seed. It's about the Great Commission. You know, in Matthew 28, 19 through 20, it says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of age. It's this idea that we're called to go out and tell people about Jesus, to proclaim what he's done in our lives, to understand that it's not something for us to keep inside of ourselves. It's not something that we're called to just keep hidden away, but instead, we're called to share this with the world around us, to everyone. And we're called to do it indiscriminately. So not worry about what the soil looks like on top, but we're called to go out and plant seeds everywhere we go, to tell people about the good news of God. Did you guys know it's not just the job of your pastors to do this? It's really not. It's called for each one of us to be out on mission. It's not just for the missionaries and the evangelists. It's for each one of us who call Jesus Lord. It is our job to go out and share that word. And yes, not everyone's going to listen. And yes, not everyone is going to be happy about what you have to say. There's going to be people who reject it. And there's going to be some that hop right up and seem to follow it only to fall away quickly. And there's others who always seem to keep their faith as secondary, allowing the world to choke their faith right out of them. And lastly, there's still always going to be others who take it deeply, where it takes root and it goes out, and they themselves will plant seeds over and over again. And that's what Jesus is talking about inside of this parable. He says in verse 15, he talks about the seed that fell on the path, and it says, some are like the word sown on the path. When they hear, immediately Satan comes and takes the word away, the word sown in them. It's this idea that some people, when they hear the gospel message, they want nothing to do with it, and they'll never take root. There are some people, they can hear the word of God over and over again, and they just run from it. Their hearts have been so hardened by the world around them that no matter what you say, it can never take root. It can never start to grow. These are the people that we're called to pray for, that God may cultivate the soil, that it may be prepared to hear that word at that moment. It's not for us to argue with them. It's not for us to try to make ourselves look better. We're no better. We're sinners just like everyone else. We've just been blessed to the point that we actually get to know who the Savior is. And praise God for that, inside of that moment. Next, we look at verses 16 through 17, where he addresses the rocky ground, and he says, and others are like seed sown on rocky ground. When they hear the word, immediately they receive it with joy, but they have no root. They are short-lived. When distress or persecution comes because of the word, they immediately fall away. This would be an example of a cultural Christian. This is that idea that we love the idea of Jesus. I've met many people, and I'm sure you guys have too. I've met people who love this idea of Jesus. They get excited. I mean, you mean somebody that loves me, somebody that'll walk with me, somebody that won't let me be alone. Man, I love this guy. I want more of it. Oh, they get excited. They're hopping up. They're volunteering for everything in church. They're going around and telling everybody, hey, check this out, all of that. But boom, the pressures of life hit them. They realize that Jesus is not this genie in a bottle anymore. And instead, they realize that, oh, wow, I actually have to pursue a relationship with him. I actually have to dig into his word. I actually have to grow and take root. And that's too much. That's what this group is. And so what do? They fall away. They fall away. It's like their faith shot up overnight, only to come crashing down, because it couldn't sustain it. These are the people who are sitting there and they're not sure why they decided to follow, other than their friends did. They've never allowed the word of God to truly penetrate their heart. The next one is Mark 4, 18 through 19. And this is the ones with the weeds. Jesus explains, others are like seed sown among the thorns. These are the ones who hear the word, but the worries of this age, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desire for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. See, these are the ones who hear the word of God, and they look healthy out of the gate. They start coming up. They start coming through, but the world chokes their faith right out of them. See, these are the people that start to worry about everything. They start worrying about what the world has to offer. They start to worry about what they're going to get next. They worry about where their next paycheck's going to get. They worry about having enough wealth and possessions. You know, wealth is not a bad thing. Don't get me wrong. Wealth is not a bad thing. I'm not saying that. But too often we rely on our wealth and our product and our belongings to give us this sense of self-sufficiency, to the point that we no longer look to God inside of those moments. We no longer trust him inside of those moments. It can make us believe we're safe, even when we're not. My question is often, what happens if it's all gone? Where are you at that moment? Can you survive on what God has provided alone? It's the same way with our desire for things in this world. We often crowd out things of God to make those a greater priority. Instead of wondering how we can serve God and how we can go out and we can tell others and plant seeds and stuff, what do we worry about? We worry about, can we get the new Jordans? You know, that's a lot of the high schoolers and stuff, the new shoes. And then for others, it's, you know, how can we get a bigger house? How can we get a better car? Never being satisfied with what we already have. Instead, our focus stays so heavily on these things of this world that it takes our distraction completely off of God, and we no longer serve or honor him. And then we don't even have a relationship with him. There's many who fall into this category. We're blessed to live in the United States. We are beyond blessed to live in this nation. But sometimes, and I thank God that I get to live here, but sometimes we trust in that more than we trust in him. What would happen if all of that was gone? Would we still have our faith? Would we still be able to stand? Because I'm telling you, our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world, that body of family that we belong to, they don't have it that way. Did you know over in China, you know, they got to sneak away into caves and stuff to have church? You know, if you ask them who hasn't been shot at is a less of a hands going up than if you ask who has been shot at for gathering together. And they laugh and joke about it, by the way. They just think it's normal. There was a North Korean defector that actually came over, and he was a Christian. And somebody's like, man, we pray for you. And he's like, well, we pray for you too. What? He goes, yeah. You have all this other stuff. All we have is Jesus. And they learn to rely on him. But there's one more group, and this is the one that reproduces. And Jesus explains it in verse 20. And he says, and those like seed sown on good ground hear the word, welcome it, and produce fruit 30, 60, 100 times what was sown. Church, this is the people I pray that all of you are. This is the people I pray that the congregation here is. That we don't worry about how does it affect our church individually, how does it affect the wallet here at the church or anything like that. Instead, we worry about how can we connect more people with Jesus? How can we make disciples that make disciples? That we're not worried about elevating ourselves, but that we become more concerned with elevating Jesus in our community and the world around us, that we're willing to go out and proclaim the gospel message at all costs, knowing it's not about us, but it's about Jesus, to make disciples that make disciples, that it's not just enough to introduce someone to Jesus, but help them bring that soil up and grow deep so that they can go out and do it themselves. See, it's not enough for us to come to church on Sundays. We have to remember to be the hands and feet of Jesus Sunday through Saturday. Each and every day and everywhere we go. You know, in Matthew 22, it tells us there's two great commands that we have to keep in mind. Two. And it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And the second one is love your neighbor as yourself. Are you loving your neighbor as yourself? Are you showing the love of God to the world around you? See, this parable that we've been looking at this morning, we've been looking at what it means for each one of these. And I do hope some of you have examined yourself to go, you know, which one of those soils have the seed fell in? Am I just going through the motions, or am I actually digging deep down into what God is saying? But there's another aspect to all of this that I think we need to understand. As Christians, as believers, our job is not to judge somebody on the way that they look on the outside, right? Our job is to let God do that. So often when it comes time for us to sow, to go out and share the gospel message, we like to look for people that look like us, talk like us, and act like us, right? That's what we like to do. We like to look for those people because we're much more comfortable. Here's the kicker, though. We don't know what's inside. We don't know what's going on with that person at that moment. They may not be ready to receive that. And then the person that we least expect has had all that soil prepared ahead of time. This is why we're supposed to go out and just scatter. Why it's not our job to cultivate. That's the Holy Spirit's job. That's why we go to the Lord in prayer every week. That's why you're called to pray for those three people every single day, is because we want the Holy Spirit to do the cultivating, so that when that seed falls, it grows, it blossoms, it comes through. That's what Jesus is talking about inside of here. We are called to do that. And if we love our neighbors, if we take Jesus's big commands, we often like to think of God as this big, long list of do's and don'ts, right? That's what our minds often go to. I've been instructed by that by many people, many times, that, oh man, I just can't remember all the rules that God gave. These are the two rules. Love God, love your neighbor as yourself. That's it. And if we get into that mindset, what are we going to do? If we start looking at everyone as our neighbor, we no longer see them as an enemy. We no longer see them. In fact, if we love our neighbor, we're going to want to share Jesus with them, because we don't want them to go where we know they're going. That we should have this desire to share Jesus with everybody, no matter who they are. Even if they don't look like us, talk like us, or anything like that. Because praise God, they should be part of the family of God. And it's really hard to hate someone when you're loving them like your neighbor. It's really hard to do that. And I want to encourage you, church, to look at yourself and see where you've planted your faith. Is it on rocky ground? Is it on soil that's hardened? Or is your faith on good soil? Are you cultivating it? Are you spending time in God's word, spending time in prayer, asking the Holy Spirit to walk with you through it? And do you see everybody as your neighbor? And do you love them in that way? Even when they're hard to love, and I will admit there are people hard to love, but we're still called to love them, because we know Jesus is what transforms them, not us. As we wrap up this morning, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for your words. I thank you for your grace, your mercy, and the way that you shine through. Lord, may we remember today everything you've done for us. May we boldly go out planting seeds everywhere we go, not worrying about where that seed falls, knowing that you're the one who's cultivated the hearts and the minds of the people already. Father, may we examine ourselves, and may we see where our seed has been planted. Father, we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's go ahead and stand. We want to introduce a new song to you this morning, and it's an interpretation of the hymn, It Is Well. And, you know, the beautiful thing about saying it is well is whether we are in good times or bad times, God is still there, he's still working, and he loves you no matter what. So let's just worship. Through it all, my eyes are on.
As you go out this week, may you boldly proclaim the message to everyone that you see. To not hold back and remember, we are called to plant seeds everywhere we go. And we do it out of love, the same love that Jesus showed us up on that cross. We pray this and we remember this. God bless and have a great week.
When the night was too dark, you shined a light on me. When the road was too long, you carried me. When the day brings its troubles, you give me you. Hold on to you.
Thank you for joining us today from Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries with Pastor Tim Yoder. We meet locally every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Sunday school and 10 a.m. for service. If this program has been a blessing to you, we would love to hear from you. We can be reached at mcchurchofgod.org or find us on Facebook at Mount Carroll Church of God, where you may also find a copy of today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, God bless. Have a great week.